Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Well, Dalton, do you know what today is?
Wednesday.
National Signing Day, part two.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of lost its luster, hasn't it?
Well, you know, all the big name kids usually are signing early now. So
right, which is fine with me. Of course, I don't cover college anymore, so I don't have to worry about it as much. Thank goodness. Remember the first signing day I covered when I was on the MSE beat? I had to cover a basketball game on a Tuesday in Lexington, Kentucky. So I flew to Lexington. I think it snowed. That it was snowing up there. Then the next day, Wednesday, I had to fly back into Columbus and get over to Starkville in time for signing day. That was fun, let me tell you. So we don't, so I don't miss that. But it's not as big a deal. But it's still, you know, for a lot of these kids, it's a big deal because you got a lot of kids. I think you see more JUCO signings today than you do, obviously, the big Division I signings. So we've had a bunch of area kids signing with junior colleges around here. So that's kind of a big deal. We'll have stuff in the paper tomorrow about signing day. We'll also have a little bit of high school stuff, a high school notebook. And if you checked out today's paper, you saw some basketball and soccer coverage. We'll talk about some of those games here the next few minutes. Thanks for joining us here on Prep Rally. Brad and Dalton here the next few minutes to talk high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. Just a reminder that this podcast comes to you every Wednesday. You can find it in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. I'll try not to hack my way through this show because I've got the crud.
It's that time of year. Everybody's getting it now.
It's called the crud. Boonville's basketball team got, boy, they got more than the crud. They're basically, their whole team got put down with the flu last weekend, the boys team. In fact, that's something I'll hopefully have in the paper tomorrow about that.
This is when I went to that Ingomar Biggersville game the other day. I started talking to Cliff Little, and he said, I don't want to shake your hand. I think I got the flu. And he's over there coaching in a basketball game.
Yeah, it's going around, man, and not just in Boonville. It's everywhere. I think it's in Tupelo as well. I just hope I don't get it. Do not enjoy the flu. Let's start by talking a little bit of basketball, Dalton. Basketball Rewind, looking at some key results from the past week. Let's go back to last night, Tuesday night. I went to Tremont, got to see the Lady Eagles host number 5-ranked Pine Grove, the 2-time defending 1A state champs. I was hoping it would be a good game, and it was for the most part. It was a close game at halftime. Pine Grove only led by a point. In fact, Tremont jumped out to an 8-0 lead. Came out hot against we're not intimidated, it didn't seem. Pine Grove, doing what it does, went on a 13-0 run to open the second half, got a double-digit lead. Tremont never really got it that close again, but they didn't necessarily go away. They kind of fought back, scrapped back within, I think, 10 or 11 in the fourth quarter, and Pine Grove finally went on a run late in the game to put it away. So that's probably the toughest they've been played by a 1A team this season, Dalton. Probably the toughest they've been played since, remember, the quarterfinals last year. They got taken down to the wire. And I can't remember what team it was now.
I remember what game you're talking about, but I don't remember who it was.
I'm old. My memory is going on me. But, yeah, not many 1A teams. I mean, Pine Grove's got three losses this year. They lost in, was it triple overtime to Ingomar? And then they lost to Ocean Springs, a 6A team, and then Germantown, which I think is a 5A team, and had that
going up to 6A next
year. Unbelievably talented freshman, you know, 6-foot freshman. I remember covering that game earlier in the season. So Pine Grove is going to be probably back in Jackson. So that really, that's a good game for Tremont to get prepared for the postseason. Of course, they went to Jackson last year to the quarterfinals. Of course, this year you have to make the semifinals to get to Jackson with the format change. But anyway, as for last night, Lauren Elliott almost scored as many points as Tremont. She had 36 points. The final was 57-39 Pine Grove. Elliott is really good at basketball, as we know, and that was a career high for her, 36 points and 11 rebounds. She had trouble. I mean, it was kind of a weird game for her. And really for Pine Grove, the first half, they had 1 2-point field goal. They were 5 of 23 from the floor in the first half, but led by a point because they were getting to the free throw line, as was Lauren. I think she had, she was like 6 of 8 from the line in the first half, and the three shots she made from the field were three-pointers. So she ended up making 7 of 12 from behind the arc, and so ended up with a really good game. I think she was like 11 of 23 overall from the floor. She had a bunch of free throws, so she can score a variety of ways, and just, you know, there wasn't much that Tremont could do with her.
Yeah, whenever I saw her against Ripley a few weeks ago, she just, I think she put up like a very easy like 24 points. It just seems like you didn't think she was scoring 24 points, and all of a sudden you look down and she has that much. You're like, oh, wow.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like I said, she had no 2-point field goals in the first half. I had 15 points by halftime, and then went off even bigger in the second half when her shot started falling with 21 points after the break. And another big key to the game was Pine Grove out-rebounded Tremont, by my count, 33-17. Got a lot of offensive rebounds.
That'll do it.
Yeah, there was one possession. They got like three offensive rebounds and then got a put back on the last one. And Anna Porter, the Tremont coach, was like, you just gave them four chances. Mm-hmm. You could hear her on the sideline. So, but still, those are two very good teams. Tremont's a very tough 1A team and really balanced. They can score inside and out. I like their point guard a lot. Haley Robinson, she did a good job kind of setting the tone early by attacking. And, you know, it's not like they're small, but they got it out-rebounded by a Pine Grove team that has some good height, and they just have a nose for the ball, too.
Well, you know, you remember Pine Grove, you remember last year in the state championship, Carly Rogers out-rebounded the other entire team by herself.
Yeah, she had like 20-21.
Something like that.
I think she
that.
Only had like five last night, but the kind of everybody got in on the act, and I mentioned that Lauren had 11 rebounds. I mean, she's, 5'8", 5'7", somewhere in there, mm-hmm. So she's not short by any means. But anyway, so Pine Grove, good win for them. Let's look at a boys' game you covered recently, Dalton. I think, was it Friday, Ingemar and Biggersville at Ingemar?
Monday.
It was Monday. Yeah, some Monday night games this week. You like you go watch Biggersville, you get some overtime action, don't you?
Ingemar, too. Both.
That's true.
I've covered each one twice now, one against each other, and all three games we've gone to overtime. So, I mean, if I just need to cover a good game, just schedule me down for one of them.
Yes.
You know, I kind of expected Ingemar to have a comfortable win. You know, Biggersville's a good team in the area, but you know, they're kind of right there on the outside. You know, if we had to rank the top 11 in the area, you know, I think they'd be number 11.
Right.
I expected them to win, you know, 10 to 14 points, Ingemar, and Biggersville came out and set the tone early. They jumped out 25 to 11 after the first quarter.
Mm.
They had 22 points in the paint in that first quarter. The other three were from free throws. Quamon Davis was just having a night. I think he ended up at the end of the game with 24 points, but he was just dominating throughout the entire game. Well, they jumped out. Biggersville jumped out. It was like 30-13, I think. 17-point lead about midway through the second quarter. And then, you know, Ingemar caught a timeout and kind of flipped a switch. They ended up cutting that lead at halftime to 6 points. And then third quarter, they started the quarter on a 10-2 run, I think. Hunter Bonham scored 8 straight points to tie the game. He hit 2 big threes in that little run. And then two teams just really went back and forth. And, you know, I don't think the biggest lead after that was 3 points from each team.
Right.
They just kept going back and forth. Ingemar took the lead, looked like they were going to take the lead into the fourth quarter. And then Hunter Stacy, the Biggersville leading scorer, hit a huge 3-pointer to give them back the lead before the fourth quarter. And they go in there, and Biggersville did what they were doing. You know, they were getting to the paint. They were getting some easy layups. They had a 3-point play. I think they went up by 3 with 30 seconds left. And then Keelan Hall hit a game-tying 3-pointer.
Keelan Hall, known for his defense, but he's good for one or two 3-pointers in a game, isn't he?
Yeah, he attempted, I think, 3 or 4, and you know, he just didn't have the best offensive night, best looks. You know, he missed a few 3-pointers. He had one layup, I think, before the 3-pointer. And it was funny because, you know, he drained this one with 19 seconds left. I heard him as I was walking out of the gym that night. He was talking to a few players. He said, when I left my hand, he didn't have any idea I was going in. He said it looked off, and it just kept going and kept going. It went in. He was surprised.
Better lucky than good.
No, yeah. But, you know, they go down and with 19 seconds left, he tied the game, and then Biggersville gets one more chance to get the game winner, and they don't even get a shot off. You know, Ingemar just defended the ball so well; they kind of trapped a guy, you know, outside the 3-point range, and just gave him about 4 seconds after that, and they kind of rushed a shot, and didn't get anywhere close, and they go to overtime, and Ingemar just dominated them. I think they outscored them 10-2. Ingemar defense was is nine. Biggersville had nine possessions in overtime, and six of them were turnovers.
Wow.
So the Ingomar defense just clamped down on top of them.
Yeah, they play some good defense at Ingomar. That's a really good, just really good non-division game. Ingomar 2A, Biggersville 1A, and we got a lot of these this week. A lot of these non-division, good non-division matchups that really going to prepare teams as they head into the postseason. Kind of like the game I had, Pine Grove and Tremont. So nice win there for Ingomar. And then going back to Friday, we had a girls game I was at, Nettleton at South Pontotoc. It was a big division game. The 4-3A regular season title or number one seed was on the line. I mean, they still have the division tournament, and pretty much a back and forth game, pretty close the whole way. Nettleton ends up winning 47-45. Sharnice Mosley made the big plays at the end of the game. She hit a game-tying shot with 20 seconds left. And then South Pontotoc inbounds, tries to go down the floor to get the lead back. She makes the steal. Mosley made a steal at half court, went the other way, got the bucket to go ahead with, I think, 9 seconds left, and that was it. South Pontotoc, I don't think they got a shot off at the end. So good road win for Nettleton, and obviously, again, that puts them at the top of the division and will be the number one seed for the division tournament, which starts next week, and that leads us again. And Mosley actually was not having a good game at all. She ended up with 10 points. Macy McMillan had a good game for Nettleton. I think she ended up with 17. She can hit the three-pointer. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen her, but she's very deadly from out there.
We've done a good job at picking good basketball games lately.
I'd say so.
All of them seem to be pretty close.
And even the one last night that was an 18-point game, Pine Grove and Tremont, was still a pretty good game for the most part. Was not just a complete blowout by any means. Looking ahead, as I mentioned, this is the final week of the regular season, and then division tournaments start next week. I think most of them start on Tuesday. I'm still trying to gather all the schedules. Some of those will be hammered out today. Some won't be worked out until Friday because there are still some division games, a handful scattered here and there later on this week, Thursday and Friday. But we do have a good many of them in hand. And so, you know, like Division 4-1A, Oklahoma's hosting that one. You got 1-2A going to be at New Site. You've got 1-3A going to be at Northeast Community College. 4-3A is going to be at Aberdeen. That could be a good one. 1-4A up at Tishomingo County. That could be a good one, too.
Yeah,
especially on the boys' side.
Yeah, you know, Ripley has lost, I think, two games in the last 2 weeks. And see if they can, you know, they can handle Tishomingo County again.
Yeah.
But you also got to look out for Byhalia and all those other teams in there because, you know, Ripley's not even the number one seed in there in the boys anymore.
You're right. In fact, Ripley lost to Saltillo in a 5A team in overtime Tuesday night. And Saltillo's a good team, but I believe that was at Ripley. So that's a nice win there for Saltillo. One of those, again, good non-division games. And so, yeah, we'll be out at various places next week. We'll try to figure that out once we get all the matchups set in the division tournaments. And speaking of good non-division matchups this week, Thursday, got Lafayette girls at Ripley. That's a matchup of ranked teams right there, Dalton.
Yeah, I'm excited to see this one. I haven't seen Lafayette play this year.
Yeah, I've got you. Yeah, I've seen them a few times, and they are indeed very good. Of course, last time I saw them, they were getting destroyed by Pontotoc, but goodness, Pontotoc is really good. Lafayette's our number two ranked team. Ripley is number seven. They've, of course, got Sierra Jackson, who knows how to – she's going to score 20-plus on most nights. So that's coming up Thursday. Should be a good one. Let's talk a little bit of soccer real quick, Dalton. We're in the midst of the playoffs. They're going to wind up this weekend. We had the semifinals. All our teams that were in action played Tuesday. We had three teams left Tuesday. New Albany boys, they lost to West Lauderdale, I think 2-0. Excuse me, 2-0. Morville's girls lost to West Lauderdale 10-0. But Lafayette's girls advance with a 1-0 victory at home against Lewisburg. And you were there.
I was.
What happened?
Oh, well, before I go into that, you know, that Morville, West Lauderdale's a different kind of beast.
I saw them last year. They beat Corinth last year in the, like, quarterfinals by about the same score.
Well, they did the same thing, you know, whenever I was in high school, you know, 6-7 years ago, they were doing the same thing. It was them and Florence, you know, down there. And yeah, I think that's who's playing in it this year. Again, it just seems like neither one of them missed a beat the last decade. But no, Lafayette and Lewisburg last night, that was a great game. Lafayette kind of, you could tell they were the better team in the first half. The score at halftime was 0-0, but I think Lafayette outshot them 5-1 in the first half.
And that's what happened. I covered Lewisburg against Saltillo on Saturday when Lewisburg won, I think it was 3-1. But Saltillo outshot them probably 4-1, but they got two corner kicks that went in, and then Saltillo just missed some chances.
Yeah, LaFeo did the same thing and missed a few chances in the first half. Lucy Wilson, sophomore, I think she's the second leading scorer on the team, had a few chances, especially right there in the last 10 minutes. So yeah. Had a breakaway that just kind of misplayed it with her feet and then let the defenders catch up, and then had one that she shanked off to the right, I think. And then she capitalized as soon as she could get a shot off in the second half, though. She outran the entire defense and then kind of juked, faked out the goalie, and then literally just a little tap, just tapped it in.
Nice.
For the team's only goal of the game, and then put them up 1-0. Yeah. And then Lewisburg went straight into attack mode. I'm talking about they just went full on. And, yeah, that was one thing that I knew coming into it was Lewisburg did really good on the set pieces, had two goals off corner kicks. They kicked four in the last 15 minutes there, and they didn't get one in. You know, they got one that was extremely close, but a Lafayette defender kicked it out. She was kind of a bicycle kick that she never left her feet and just kicked it. It was a really nice clear, and that was really the real threat they had. And then Lafayette just played boom ball the rest of the game, kicked the ball as far as they could. And there was nobody playing defense besides one player, so she'd have to run back 30 yards, go back and get the ball, and come back up. You know, Lafayette's going to play the winner of West Jones and Long Beach Saturday in the state championship now. And the Lafayette team is really good, and they're really young.
Yeah, 23-2.
23-2. They start a 7th grader, 2 8th graders, a 9th grader. Their leading scorer is an 8th grader. Their second leading scorer is a sophomore. I think they only have 2 seniors that start for them.
Goodness.
That is a very young team that has a really good chance at winning it.
Yeah. They play Saturday at 4, like you said, against the winner of West Jones and Long Beach. Those teams play tonight, Wednesday night. So that'll be Saturday down there at Brandon High School. So congrats to Lafayette for advancing. Let's do our shout-out we do every week. This week, Dalton, let's give a shout-out to Chloe Hammack, the senior point guard for Newsite on Tuesday night. Surpassed 100 three-pointers made for the season as the Lady Royals beat Mantachie 70-37. She now has 103 on the year, which, according to the Newsite Twitter, and they're probably getting this from Max Preps, is number one in the state and top 10 in the nation. She's a good player. She's averaging around 17 points a game, and she can do more than score. And I mean, you know, we've seen her over the last couple of years do really well, and she's really good at just leading that team and kind of setting the tone. And then she'll just, you know, bam, step out and pop a three on you.
Well, it's kind of a cool tidbit now that Newsite has the leading girls and boys 3-point shooter in the state.
That's right, Walker Moreland.
It's a cool little tidbit right there.
It sure is. We might have something on that in the prep notebook tomorrow. So look out for that. Let's do the athletes of the week. Dalton, wrap this thing up. We recognize a male and female athlete every week for their accomplishments. Female athlete of the week, Annie Orman. Heard that name before. I believe she's probably been an athlete of the week before. Sophomore for West Union, point guard. She had 46 points, Dalton. 46 Tuesday night. And a 71-66 win against East Union. She made all three of her three-point attempts, 17 of 21 free throws. She's a good player.
Yes, she is.
I've seen her play. She's very good, but 46, good heavens. And then on Monday, the night before, she had 24 points and a 59-41 win against Jumpertown, made 8 of 10 free throws there. So, yeah, two nights in a row, and she was obviously not tired Tuesday from the game Monday. So congrats to Andy. Male athlete of the week, Tucker Hill, a senior for Tishomingo County. He had a big night Tuesday as well. On senior night for the Braves, he had 44 points. He had 20 of those in the third quarter, and then he set like early in the fourth. So he did most of this work in just a little over three quarters. He made 8 of 11 from three-point range, which is pretty good, Dalton, if you didn't know that.
Yeah, it is.
Tishomingo won 93-32 over Hickory Flat. He had a nice game as well against Belmont, 22 points in the 62-27 win. On the year, he's averaging 13.3 points and 5 blocks per game. And the Braves having a nice season at 18-8. So there you go. Those are your athletes of the week. Congrats to them, and thanks for joining us on this episode of Prep Rally. Again, we come to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Dalton's on there at dlmiddleton8, and I'm on there at Bradlock. And that's it for this episode of Prep Rally. Hope everybody stays healthy. Don't get the flu. We'll see you next time.